Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
A powerful person is somebody who doesn't blame their stuff on other people. I'm in charge of how I act. I'm in charge of how, not, you can't make me be angry. You can't make me sad. You can only choose to be sad. I'm in charge of me. You be in charge of you. And a powerful person recognizes that I'm not in charge of you. I'm in charge of me. And the only way I get to influence you biblically is by being nice and loving. That's the only way you're allowed to biblically control anybody. That's not my message, but I'm going to talk about that for a second. The only way, listen, when I withdraw love from you, or I'm angry, or I get overbearing, or I lift my voice, or I, you know, I'm going to stand up for myself. All of that is manipulation. All that is fear and manipulation. That's all you have is fear and manipulation. That's all you get. The Bible says the only way we're allowed to control people is by love. That's it. I want you to change. And so how am I going to force you to change? Well, I can't force you because that's... I'm only in charge of me. That's why it's demonic to pray somebody into being your spouse. Don't do that. That's wicked, right? Don't do that. That's just, that'll get you down roads you don't want to go down, right? All you can do is influence somebody by drawing them with love, right? You're acting poorly. I am not acting poorly. I am acting in love, and I'm hoping that the love that I am displaying will draw you into a place of love. Does that make sense? As opposed to, I'm going to be so mean, I'm going to make you be loving. That just sounds stupid, doesn't it? That just sounds dumb. And I'm going to keep being mean to you until you treat me with love. How does that work exactly? No, what that says is I'm going to force you to be under my thumb. And that's not what Jesus did. It's not how Jesus told us to represent him. He didn't say, hey, I love you so much, I saved you. Now go tell people I hate them until they start acting right. The pride behind that, the whole thought pattern, that I'm somehow worthy of love, but you're not until you earn it. That's kind of dumb, right? We don't even believe that, right? Of course we don't, because we're Christians. Huh. So, yeah. So, good morning. I'm going to try to play it a little loose here. Loving Jesus, 11:29. All right, here we go. I got to hurry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you there? I got to tell you, I love the Bible. I thank you for bringing your Bible, be it on your electronic device, your phone, your tablet, or old school printed. Get super old school, bring a scroll, you know. Bring your concrete tablets, you know, that God wrote in, whatever you want. I don't care. I don't care how you bring it. Just read it. It's not the medium that's anointed. It's the words on it, right? Some of you may get more out of an audio Bible. I would encourage you. If you're an auditory learner, get you an audio Bible. There's a bajillion of them free online. And the version isn't even all that important. I'm just going to, you know, if you're just going to be listening, it's just not all that important. If you're going to be studying Scripture, some are better than others. But it's just not that important. Listen to the word. If you can, listen while reading or listen while praying in tongues. That'll rock your word right there. Just do that an hour a day, and next thing you know, you'll walk in here glowing. The amazing thing about listening to the word a lot is that you start learning it, and the next thing you know, you start speaking it. Then it actually begins to be active in your life, which is when things get exciting, right? You with me on that? Yeah, so I appreciate you honoring the word. I appreciate you valuing the word. So here we are in 2 Corinthians. It's a letter by Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul is, in terms of scripture, Paul is the man, right? He is, if you're a preacher, he's the man you want to be, right? Peter's got some good stuff, but Paul, if you're a theologian, Paul will rock your world day and night. And you'll read stuff and you won't even know what he's talking about. But just keep reading it, right? So we're going to start in verse 16. If you got your Bible, that's where we're going to go. Kellyanne, just get some of that. It's all over you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. I just believe if you are trusting God for an encounter today, it's yours. His spirit is here, and he wants to minister to your spirit. And you may not understand what he's doing, but guess what? He doesn't care if you understand or not. He's not the God of our understanding. Sometimes he's got to get you out of the way of ministering to you. So you just go straight to your spirit. He's not even looking for agreement. He doesn't even care. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. That's a good word right there, Pastor. Oh, I wanted to pray for something real quick. Yeah, we're going to pray for something real quick. The Lord, a week ago, the Lord spoke to me about, what was it? I prayed for it. The first thing I prayed for last week. Was it finances? Thank you. I prayed for finances, and a bunch of people got breakthrough. And last night, the Lord told me to pray for what seemingly irreconcilable relationships. Those are the words he used. And so if you are estranged from somebody you need God to do it. I'm not even telling you you have to do it. I'm saying you just need God to fix it, and you have no earthly way of fixing it. Well, you probably could just go say, please forgive me, but you're not going to do that. So you need God to do that, right? You need God to do something amazing, right? Because you probably already would have done that if you could do it, right? But you're scared maybe. I don't know, whatever it is. But I want to pray for that. Is that speaking to anybody in the room? If that's you, stand up if you would. There's an irreconcilable relationship in your life that it's like, I don't have any idea how this could possibly get fixed. Stand for me, honey. You're honey, by the way. Yeah. I don't say that to anybody else. That's just you. Sometimes my daughter, but mostly you. Are you guys with me on this? Wow. Okay. I need somebody to pray in the Holy Ghost, stir a little faith in the room now, if we could, please. All right? God's going to do a miracle in some relationships. I mean, it could be an estranged child. It could be an estranged spouse. It could be a family member. It could be an old best friend that you just, things went south. Maybe you blew it. Maybe they blew it. Doesn't really matter. We want it to be reconciled, right? If they're near you, you're part of the prayer team. Put your hand on their shoulder, unless you're demonized, and then just act like you're overcome by the Holy Ghost and stay seated, please. So put your hand on their shoulder. You can stand or you can sit, and we're just going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, just you. You are the amazing reconciler because you reconciled the world to God. Jesus, you're amazing at this. Wow, and you turn hearts. You turn hearts, Lord. I also prayed for housing last week, and I know at least two breakthroughs in housing this week. And so, Father, we just say, pray in the Holy Ghost, people. Let's add some faith to this. Just pray from the way you wish someone would pray for you if you hadn't talked to your daughter or mom or uncle or best friend in 10 years. How would you pray for them? Father, that humility would come. Come on, pray. Pray into that. Father, we just declare reconciliation in the name of Jesus. Reconciliation in the name of Jesus. You would heal relationships, Lord. There would be a great testimony that you are the God. Hallelujah. There was a man of God that I didn't talk to for years, had a very bad relationship with. I didn't even want to see him, to be honest with you. And I was at a pastor's conference in California, and he was there. I was like, wow, we live in the same city. Haven't seen you in 8 years, and here you are in the same city I am in California. What do you know? God is into reconciliation. You may not even want to be reconciled to them. Then you really need the miracle of they turn into somebody you want to be reconciled to. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Thank you. Let's pray. I had another thing I wanted to pray. What was it? Come on, pray. Pray out loud with your mouth. Words. Make the words. It's hard to make the words. You may not even want reconciliation. I just feel like God is on this, but you think God may want it. Then just go ahead and submit, stand up, and just receive prayer. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute if you would. I just want to pray for one more thing, but I just got to remember what it was. What in the housing? We did that last week. Thank you, though. Remember what it was, honey, or no? Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of people have been getting attacked in their sleeps. In their sleeps. That's not just one. Multiple sleeps. All the sleeps are being attacked. But there's been a string of nightmares that people have been having. There's a little bit of warfare happening. I don't know what it is, but I'm not really into warfare. I'm not into fighting battles that Jesus won. I'll just rest in what he did, amen? But it's been happening, and I want to pray for that. I want to pray for you. So if you have been having bad dreams in the last week, they have to stop, amen? Because nighttime is for sleeping. So if that's you, go ahead and stand up, and we're going to pray for you. Look at this. You're not alone. It's the people in the front. The anointed ones are being attacked. Look at this. Pray in tongues. Everybody pray in tongues. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I declare the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over these. Come on, stretch your hand, everybody's not saying it. Stretch your hand. Come on, pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you foul, wicked demon from hell, I declare that you have been uncovered and you are... You do not have any power. Jesus Christ took it from you. And he handed it to us. And I thank you, Lord, that nighttime is for rest. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the king of our sleep. And I declare that fear and anxiety will not visit these people in the middle of the night. In the name of, you have to go, you foul, wicked demon from hell. Thank you, Jesus, the peace of God reigns in their minds. It reigns in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, that the devil is defeated. One more. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost, people. Come on, pray a little bit. Come on. In the name of Jesus, the blood, thank you, Lord, that you invade their dreams. Thank you that the victory is won. Ha, in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen and amen. And come on, give a clap offering to the Lord if you would. Amen. I'm looking forward to some good reports. You can sit down. You can rest in the glory now. Hallelujah. I have a quick announcement to make now, as if this has not been dragged on long enough. We have had a kind of a committee come together, and we've been talking about kind of our housing situation for the church. And as you know, we rent this place. It's not free. Some people think that we're here for free. No, it is not. We rent this for Sunday mornings, obviously. And we have our offices that the Lord likes to dwell in that we rent 24/7, obviously. That's about 2,200 square feet. We have offices there. We do counseling there. There's meetings during the week there. We have our Friday night intercession, Tuesday morning intercession. Sometimes we have Sunday night meetings there. We just do stuff there. And we have had our own offices for about 4.5 years now, plus or minus. We had our offices on Oak Circle, Oak Drive, whatever that was. We had it there for a little over 2.5 years. And then we moved into our current offices 2 years ago. And our lease is coming up on that office. And we decided to pray and ask God what he wants us to do. And we came together as a committee to kind of pray through this. And the Lord began to really talk to us. And we really felt like we were not supposed to re-up our lease there. Now, hear what I'm saying. We have money, right? I got plenty of money, right? My God, he's not broke. We're not withdrawing because we can't afford stuff, right? We have money for it, but we felt like we weren't supposed to re-up our lease. And we're like, Lord, what are we supposed to do? And he said, don't re-up your lease. That's not an answer. You know what I mean? Like, that's not an answer. But there's a lot of stuff that God has been talking to us as a group. And when it's time, we'll release it. But long story short, at the end of July, our lease ends, and we don't know what we're going to do after that. Right? It doesn't affect anything that we do here Sunday mornings. It affects our Friday night intercession or Tuesday morning intercession. So what do I want you to do? Let me tell you what I don't want you to do first. Please don't send me emails of every office rental that you see available, right? Generally, when I announce this, I start getting pictures of Starbucks for rent or, you know, hey, there's a McDonald's or there's a Target going out of business, like, that's not going to work, right? There's zoning issues. There's money issues. There's we can't afford 60,000 square feet issues. You know, there's just stuff. If you do know commercial real estate and you understand how those things work, be happy to talk to you. But we're just trying to figure some things out. We're praying through it. What I do want you to do is, number one, pray. Pray that we would just, that God would speak to us on what the next step is. That's pretty important. Number two, if you have, commercial buildings sitting around in the East Boca area that you're not using, sow that faith seed at Revival Life Church, tax-exempt organization, get that. But in all seriousness, if you have a building in East Boca, we'll take it. But just pray, and we're not sure where we're going to land, but we trust God, amen? We trust God. And again, it's not a financial issue. We're not moving for money. We just felt like God said, don't do it, and we don't know what's next. And there's like five of us on the committee, and each of us began to have prophetic encounters that told us it's time to move. And, Abraham started moving before he knew where he was going, and that couldn't have been fun. However, he moved the whole city with him, right? He had his goats, had his wives, he had his tents. And that doesn't work in Boca. You can't just randomly drop a tent and start meeting. The city of Boca is not as excited about that as they are in the desert where Abraham was journeying. So will you pray with us on that? Would you amen, amen, amen. All right, let's get into the Bible now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Now that I've gone so long, I will try to speak briefly. We'll see how that goes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you say amen to the reading? Amen and amen. I'm going to just dive into this since we've been going a little bit. And we've been talking about how the glory of God comes and changes us, how we have to value the presence of God, how we have to value the fact that he doesn't minister to our minds. He doesn't minister primarily to our body, though he ministers to both of those. He ministers primarily to our spirit. And it's his goal that what he's doing in our spirit bleeds out into our soul and into our body and eventually into the world around us. Amen? We're talking about that. And as Kellyanne shared her testimony, how that was happening to her even though she didn't know it. There's great teachers in the body of Christ today, and the primary goal of teaching is to convert your soul, right? So that you can understand the Word of God, that you can give liberty to the Spirit to move. And so there's so much teaching, we kind of will almost decrease a valuing on the Spirit of God ministering to our spirit. Amen? Now, we can minister to our body, and the Lord can come and heal our body, which can open up a great revelation to who God is in our life, and I'm thankful for that. But God is spirit, and he ministers us in spirit. And it's important that we value what he's doing to our spirit because we want to yield to that. I'm going to be very honest with you. I want God to do all the work, and I want all the benefits, and I don't apologize for that at all, right? I want to live a yielded life to him. I don't want any credit for any good in my life. I don't want to be able to brag about what I have accomplished. If God has been talking to me about anything, he's been talking to me, he's been challenging me. I see so many ministers out there, and I look at their lives and I say, hey, can you discern the difference between your ambition and God's spirit? There are so many ministers producing the fruit of their ambition. It's not the fruit of the spirit. And I'm thankful that anything you do in Jesus' name, I'm happy for it. But I wonder if you turned off your ambition, how much of your ministry would grind to a halt? Because it's not being carried by the wave and the wind of the Spirit. Now, if you want to strive your whole life, if you want to be in ministry and you want to be fearful that things are going to stop, that people are going to find out that you're doing it all on your own, if you feel like every meeting's got to be more anointed than the last, if you got to constantly be producing more fruit, just keep doing that. Let ambition run wild in your life. I have found it to be exhausting. You let Jesus be the Lord of your ministry. Don't do stuff he didn't tell you to do. Don't hype things to make you look more anointed. Listen, if you're anointed, people will find out. Jesus will promote you. I mean, you can promote yourself and you can talk people into stuff. Man, but you got to keep that going. And that is not a fun life to live. It is not a fun life to live. So much more joy comes when you're just like, hey, here's who I am. Well, Jesus produced anything good you see right here. And if you want to receive from him, I talked to him a little bit, and he moves, but, you know, it's between you and God, right? It's not about me. You hear what I'm saying? And so I see the hype train rolling on, like, anointed people, but their entire ministry is hype. And I wonder, man, why do people do this? Why? We have to learn early in your ministry. Listen, I'm talking, I don't care what you do here. I don't care if you're a greeter. I don't care if you just feel like your ministry is to greet people in the little area that you sit in. I don't care if you feel like your ministry is just, when I go to work, there's no godly people, and I just try to be nice where nobody's nice. Whatever your ministry is, if you start it with hype, you only have to ramp up the hype as you grow in God. It's not like you can fake it till you make it in Jesus. It doesn't work. Because people expect more a month from now than they're getting today. Listen, just be real. Just be real and let God carry you. It will work out so much better. Right? That works in every area of your life. You fake it in your finances, you start racking up credit card debt. As long as you're willing to go into debt, then God doesn't need to be your miracle provider. When he's your only source, then he starts coming through. But as long as you're willing to rely on hype and fake, then he doesn't need to come through with miracles because he's like, oh, you got this apparently. You don't want to live that way. You don't want to live that way. You start building a fake house, and you got to keep that thing up. Fake about your marriage. Fake about your finances. Fake about your ministry. And one day, someone finds out one thing, and the whole thing comes apart. That's not a fun life to live. It's not a fun life, and you don't want to live that way, right? You don't want to live that way. If we can just bring our expectations of ministers down just a notch, you know, we already have a Lord, right? We already have a Savior. We don't need anybody with a microphone to be our Savior. Amen? We don't need any super miracle worker to come and be our bridge to Jesus. We got one already, right? We got a bridge to God. His name is Jesus. I don't need any other Jesus. I'm good. Thank you very much, right? But I want to draw from people's gifts, right? I want to draw from your gift. I hope you draw from my gift. We're supposed to encourage one another. I see people with the anointing on their life. I want to receive from it. Amen? But I don't need another God, and I don't need hype. I just don't need fake. I don't want fake in my life. I'm so done with fake. Don't want fake. I don't need it. If you're impressed with fake, you're about to be sorely disappointed in this church. We don't do fake well. We tried it a little bit, and we'll be in the middle. We're like, yes, this isn't fun. Let's stop. We got lights going. Woo, look at us. It's the whole light show. That's our light show. It's amazing. Thank you, tech team. That's more work than it looks. Right? We're not going to kill people to put on a fake show for you. One day we'll have amazing lighting people and they'll do amazing things. But until then, we can do what we can do. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. I want to contrast two words for you here, Emmanuel, if you can put them up. Temporal versus eternal. He contrasts these things in the scripture. Temporal versus eternal. Now, temporal are just like it sounds. It's things that are temporary. They're only for a season. They're passing away. The things that are passing away. Our world is filled with temporary things that are passing away. Fads come and go. And I got nothing against fads. You know, I want to dress like I understand what's in right now. Right? Gosh, I'm going off on all kind of tangents here. I have so many minister friends that I love. I love and I appreciate and they're anointed. And I just want to tell them, listen, you need to shop for clothes more often. People aren't coming to your church because you look frumpy. Don't be fake, but get with the times, right? You've been preaching the same message for 30 years, bro. We got it. Stay up to date. Why does your website look like that? Why? Why is Amazing Grace MIDI playing when I pull up your website? What is happening here? Make it stop. Please, make it stop. Are you with me? Listen, and we should be able to reach the world with their language. I'm not scared of the world. You should know what's going on in the world. Let's not become, you know, some little cultic Christians who are scared of the world, so we go and we get a horse and buggy and we hide ourselves from the evil influences of radio. You know, like, that's not who we're supposed to be, right? But yet and still, there's things that are passing away, and we can't put our hopes in things that are dying. All right? We can't put our hopes in things that are passing away. We can't put our hopes on shifting sand. You know, this may be here tomorrow, but it may not. Don't put your hopes in things that are temporal, is what the Bible says here. Don't anchor yourself to something that is not sure. Right? And he talks about the eternal. Now, obviously, the eternal is forever. It's without end. Right? You don't want to make long-term decisions based on things that are a fad or temporal. We don't want to make long-term decisions based on short-term problems. Amen? We don't want short-term problems to dictate our long-term future. Right? Anybody with like a barbed wire armband tattoo can preach this to you. They're like, wow, that was cool for 3 months, and now I got to get covered up with an eagle, you know, or something. Something eternal, right? Because this temporary cool thing is now eternal. Ladies with the tattoo eyebrows will let you know, like, wow, that was cool, and then that wasn't in anymore, and now it's on my face. Right? There was a minute where the tattoo mole thing was in. Anybody remember that? And then they start turning blue because that's what happens to tattoos, right? And now you got a blue dot on your face. What is that? And like, I got to put like a little ring there now or something to hide it, you know? Don't do long-term things based on short-term fads. Amen? Just don't do it, right? And every now and then you just need to throw stuff away. Like, this is old. I need to throw it away. We just hold on to old stuff too long. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Things that were designed to be temporal in our life, we make eternal. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I activated my ritual recently. My wife and I were shoe shopping. I saw some socks, bought several bundles of socks. I'm going to throw all my old socks away. Like, you ever go there trying to mix match socks? Why do we do that? It's like $10 for a pack of socks. Spend 6 hours a week trying to match socks that are the right faded. You know what I mean? Like, this one's gray, but this one's black. I need another grayish one. Like, that's not just me, right? You're worth more than that. Throw them away. Buy new socks. Just being so cheap on this nonsense. Like, get rid of this. That's got the Nike one. That's got the Under Armour one. That's got the... Throw them away. All new socks, right? Just like, let's just get... These are temporary things. They're not eternal. Right? But there are some things that we should build on eternal truths. Like, let me say this. I'm going to say this very gingerly. I've said it many times. I don't know that I got to say it explicitly. If you're going to get married, you want to build that based on some eternal truths. Like, are they a good person? Right? Like, gravity is coming. How they look is temporary. In the light of things. And if you base who you're going to spend the rest of your life on, denying gravity, you're going to be sorely disappointed in 10, 15 years. Something happens to fellas that gravity begins to pull their stomach out of their body. It's like, funny, your intestines used to be closer to your spine when we met. Now they're closer to your thigh. I don't understand what's happening. Right? Like, all this is temporary. It's passing away. It's temporal, right? And John, in 1 John, his epistle, he says in the second chapter, he starts going through things. He's like, listen, he's like, these temporary things, don't put your hope in them, right? He says, don't get caught up in the world system. The world will tell you you need what's hot, what's new, what's... You need to satisfy, like, the temporal things of the world, satisfy the temporal part of your life, right? It's very enticing to the temporal part of your life, the part that's passing away. He's like, don't get caught up in this world system. Don't get caught up in the system of giving your life for things that are temporary, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I saw something really interesting this week on that anointed site, Facebook. It said... That's where all the wisdom is these days, right? And he said, the grass is greener where you fertilize it. You can look at other people like, oh, it's so nice over there. I have a neighbor whose grass is amazing, and I'm just jealous all the time, right? He pays people to make it look amazing, though. Your life is better with money, right? And then you're like, that's amazing. All I need for that is money, right? And once you recognize all you need is money, it's just not that impressive. Man, he's got a fast car. I can have that if I had money. Oh, look at that outfit. Man, I'd have that if I just had money. Oh, okay. It's not that big a deal then. It's just because they had money. And so John, in his epistle, is saying, listen, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's passing away. He says here in 1 John 2:17, write this down, check it out later. He says, the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. What's he saying there? He's saying, listen, all this stuff you see is passing away. If you anchor your hope in this, guess where your hope is going? As this passes away, your hope passes away with it. If you anchor your soul in things that you lust after, if you anchor your soul in your ambition, it's not a happy life. Because all of this that you see is going to die. It's all going to be gone. One day, it's gone. Anybody who's over 30 knows that there was one day that you were the amazing someone at something, and now somebody's better. And if that was your identity, all of a sudden you got problems. All of a sudden, you're not anybody now. You know, you used to be the guy with the amazing body, or you were the guy with the fast truck. And then you get older, and you're like, who cares how fast your truck is? It's not like you built it, you know? It's not like, you know, you bought it. That's a big deal. Wow. Woo. And then it was not fast. It was, oh, no, look, mine's the lowest. Yours is low. Mine's lower. You can put cardboard under mine and scrape. Well, you can put paper under mine and scrape. And then you get like 30, 35, and you're like, why would I want to ride in a car that low? There's suspension for a reason. You're like, wow, I devoted my life to something that absolutely doesn't matter now. When I was young, it was loud. Like, who had the loudest stereos? And I was all caught up in that. And now I got hearing problems. That's kind of stupid, right? I'm destroying my hearing to look cool to people I'll never know. This doesn't make sense. But how much do we spend money on stuff that's passing away? Oh, I got to get those shoes. I got to get that purse. I got to get that hairstyle. I got to have this. I'm going to go do this while I look cool on Instagram for people who I'll never meet and don't care about me at all will think I'm amazing. That's passing away. That's temporal. And Johnson, listen, don't anchor your life in that. That's passing away. That's dumb. That's unfulfilled. You have to run after that constantly. You get what I'm talking about here. But as we go forward in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we go on to our next verse. Let me go back to 16 one more time. It says, we don't lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, our outer man is decaying. The temporal is decaying. We want to live for eternal, right? And so as we spend time in the presence of God, it says we're being renewed day by day. Listen, it becomes new. It doesn't get older. Like, my body is getting older. I can't do stuff I used to do when I was 21, 22, right? I can't do it, right? I just physically am unable to. But inside, I'm youthful because I'm being renewed day by day. My spirit man doesn't get older. It just gets better. And that's why older folks are into wisdom, because wisdom is easy to renew. Physical strength, not so much. But we don't let the struggles of this world dictate our heart. See, he says here, we do not lose heart. Though the temporal is fading away, our inner man is being renewed. We don't lose heart. We don't get depressed. We don't get discouraged. Why? Because our hope is not in things that are passing away. Our hope is in our inner man, what God is doing on the inside of us. Our hope is not in how much money or the prestige of our career. It's not in who we can get on our arm. It's not about what we have in the bank. Our hope is based in the eternal Christ Jesus and what he's doing in our heart day by day. If you are depressed about the state of your life, I want to pose another question to you that I've been asking for weeks now. Whose church are you building? Whose kingdom are you building? If you're depressed about what's going on in your life, I want to ask you, whose kingdom are you building with your life? If you're building the kingdom of you, then all you're building is stuff that will pass away. It's all going to pass away. It's all going to pass. It's going to, at the end of your life, they're going to put it in a box, and they're going to either put it in a box and bury it in the ground or give it to somebody else. It's all going away. If that's the kingdom you're building. If your life is based on building the kingdom of God, then it's only going to get better and better. Because you're building it on something eternal. And that's why Paul's saying, listen, as apostles, we're not being treated well. We're at the bottom. We're struggling. We're scraping. We're barely getting by. But we're not discouraged because we're not focused on the temporal. Our life is being built on the eternal. Earth is fading away. The spirit is eternal. And you know you get mature in Christ when you watch your prayers begin to shift. They begin to shift from stuff. Your prayers shift from telling God the stuff that you need, and they start surrounding guidance. You stop asking God to give you stuff, and you start asking God to give you guidance. You start recognizing that I'm in charge of stuff. And I don't need God to come give it to me because he's put me in charge of it. That means I have the ability. I need you, God, to show me, give me wisdom, guide me in how to do this well so I can see your glory manifest in this thing. That's what maturity looks like. If you struggle in prayer and you're contending over stuff, stuff can be relationships, stuff can be anything. Start asking him to guide you in these things. I've prayed for as much miracle money as anybody, but when you start asking God about wisdom, how do I manage these finances better? How do I make more money? How do I conquer this cycle of poverty in my life? Then God starts telling you how you begin to own it. Remember we talked about earlier, when you start taking responsibility for it, he'll start giving you anointing for it. And so when you stop blaming God for you not having what you think you deserve and you start taking ownership, here I am, Lord, how do I do this well? Then he starts showing you how to conquer it. Does this make sense? Let's go on to the next verse, 2 Corinthians 4:17. As we're talking about praying from stuff to guidance, he says here, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, you could pervert that to say God is sending you problems. That's not what's happening. God is not sending you affliction. He's not sending you sickness. He's not sending you curses. It's not happening. But what he is doing is he's getting you into situations that require you to pray and figure out how to conquer. Why? Because you're supposed to conquer them. Well, the Lord is, you know, getting so much glory through the sickness. The Bible says the way God gets glory through sickness is you getting healed. That's how God gets glory in sickness. That's what the scriptures say. It's only so he could be glorified. If you ain't healed, he ain't glorified yet. So let's get you healed. So if you're in the middle of a struggle, don't tell me, well, God is, I started preaching the gospel and, you know, all of a sudden I lost my wife, I lost my house, I lost my kids, you know, but God's being glorified with the reconciliation possibly. If you have an estranged marriage, I am not, there's 15,000 moving parts, right? So I'm not pointing my finger at one. Don't hear what I'm not saying. However, we're not going to say it's God's fault that this happened. Right? If you're in a struggle right now, if you are at a financial a shortfall, if you're at a relational shortfall, if you feel like you can't get ahead in ministry, wherever it is you can't get ahead, what you need to do is believe that God got you in that struggle so you can overcome it. God's got you in that struggle so you can overcome it. But why does God want you to, why doesn't he just do it? Because he wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be able to export this overcoming anointing to the world who needs it. He wants you to be able to get victory and bring it to the world. And so it says here that, listen, we're suffering some struggles right now. Maybe your career isn't moving forward. Maybe your finances, maybe your relationships, maybe it's your immigration status. I don't know. But you're not getting ahead for some reason. And instead of going to God and complaining all the time, complaining is not helping. Telling God, well, if you really love me, you would have done this, so I'm not going to serve you until you do it. I don't know if you know this, but that is not a winning plan. I'll just open the door to the enemy in my life. That ought to help. No, that will not help. Oh, I need God to take pity on me. No, you really don't need God to take pity on you because he's not going to. Because he looks at you and says, sent Jesus. That should do it. And when you want pity, that's you telling him Jesus is not enough, right? So just break that cycle in your life. Stop getting God to pity you, right? Instead say, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this, God. I have no clue. I'm scared. I don't know how to do this. But I'm in this, and I'm in this for a reason. Show me how we're going to overcome this. And he's going to tell you to do some stuff that's scary for you to do. But on the other side, like the scripture right here says, this light affliction is going to produce an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Who would like an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison in your life? I will take that. And if it takes some light affliction, I am down. Sign me up. Amen? I am down. I mean, I never met anybody who had muscles who didn't have to work for them. It takes some resistance to build muscle. Amen? Don't try to pray in muscle. That's stupid. Jesus, I want to be an overcomer, so please, won't you overcome so I can be an overcomer? No, it takes a little bit of conflict for you to get stronger. And sometimes as you overcome these things, you're going to find out God has equipped you to do these things. You're hearing this light affliction. So what's your big problem right now? Think about it. Light affliction. This big, massive light affliction. Light affliction. Of course, Paul was being murdered, raised from the dead, lost at sea for 2 days, you know. Light affliction. Amen? But as we pray through our conflicts, we learn how God sees it. And we gain his wisdom in them. When you are lost emotionally, when you have tied your soul to the temporal, and things look hopeless, and then you ask God, how do you see this thing? And he shows you, it all of a sudden shifts things out of the temporal into the eternal. It all of a sudden shifts your perspective. You pray through the conflict, and you ask God, how do you see this thing? And he brings wisdom. And he wants to mark your soul with wisdom for these kind of conflicts so you can, again, export them into other conflicts. He wants you to be an overcomer, right? He don't have to constantly bail you out of stuff. I mean, he will, but he'd rather you be here being an overcomer. Amen? Let's go on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, I'm almost done here. So is that child. Almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, that requires something right now, right? This just requires something. He says, we don't look at what's seen, we look at what's not seen. That means you got to be able to see what's not seen. You might need a little bit of spiritual gifting to be an overcomer in this world, all right? That means that the world doesn't see this stuff. They don't have the hope that we have because they can't see what we see. So how do they see it? We tell them about it. How does the world have a hope in these things? We tell them about it. My wife has an amazing testimony that she recently got that she had some Jewish coworkers. I think, I don't know if I shared it here, or I think I shared it Tuesday morning at intercession. She had some Jewish coworkers, and I think I can share this publicly, right? Yeah. And my wife just lived a Christian life in front of them before she left working at FAU. And she would just tell them about her life. We just live life in front of people. And they were going through some financial struggles recently. And they've gone through financial struggles for a while. And their child was turning 13, right? And they were having their bar mitzvah. I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl. They're having a bar mitzvah, and they didn't have money for it. And the woman told my wife later, she says, we didn't have money for it, and we didn't have money for the deposit. But something in my mind just reminded me. Your voice came to me. And I just said, we just have to trust God for the money. And I would tell my husband, we just have to trust God. We just have to trust God for the money. And so we wouldn't have money. We'd be discouraged. We'd say, no, we have to trust God for the money. And then they got a check in the mail, the exact amount they needed. Now you would say, but they're not saved. Well, yeah, neither were you before you got saved. And God showed his goodness to you. Hallelujah. My wife had seen an eternal promise. and had lived that in front of these people, and these people were identified with it. Amen. Now all of a sudden, when they get in a bind, who do you think they're going to pray to? Yeah, to God. And who do you think is going to show up? There's only one living God. Yeah. There's only one. I'm not scared of them praying to him, not knowing who he is. Having a false image of him, right? Because I don't know about you, but I had a false image of him before I got saved. And he still honored it. He's a very good God. And so we go into the unseen, and we see how he looks at stuff. I know this is a little, you know, a little deep here, but I just hold on to this for a second. You got to spend time in the presence of God. This is not a short-term thing, right? This isn't a one-night stand. This isn't a hookup, right? God can't be your hookup. You can't swipe right and then get his wisdom, right? It doesn't work that way. It takes time to cultivate a relationship with people that you can trust and understand how they think. That takes a minute. Are you with me? We don't let the struggles of this world, hear me, define our heart state. We can't let the struggles of this world define our heart state. We don't lose heart, like the scripture says. We keep the faith. We keep trusting God. We keep pressing forward. We don't look at the temporary things. We keep our mind on the eternal things. I'm going to have to close here. I want you to think of it like this, right? I go into my prayer closet, and I look at this struggle that's bothering me a lot, right? I live down here on the earth, and I got issues, right? I got people issues, I got money issues, I got world issues, I got pastoral issues, I got leadership issues, I got just issues, right? That I, you know, family inherited issues. I didn't deal with stuff well issues. I don't know. Y'all probably don't have issues. I have some issues, right? And I live down here in my issues. She got away. I live down here in my issues. And they get very daunting because I can't fix them as hard as I try. Then I go up here and I spend time with Jesus. And I spend time with Jesus and I talk to him and I love on him and we just hang out maybe in the Word, in worship. I spend time in intercession. I spend time with other believers. We spend time together. And then at some point I say, Lord, I got this issue. And I don't complain to him about it. I don't blame him. I don't punish him. I say, Jesus, got this issue. How do you see this issue? What's your word for this issue? How do you look at this thing? Because clearly, if it's causing me anxiety, then we're not looking at it the same way. Because I'm convinced you're not anxious. And then he shows me. No. Here. Oh, this is how I see this thing. I'm like, wow, that's funny. Are we looking at the same thing? Because how you see this is completely different than how I see it. And he's like, no, here's how I see it. And so then I take that, and I come down here, and I see the problem again. And I say, how you're presenting is not real. How you're presenting is not real, because God showed me what's really happening here. And so all of this may be against me, but guess what? I have something on the inside of me that my heart is focused on, and it's eternal. And and it's my job to get that here, to manifest that here, right? You got loved ones who don't want to follow Jesus? Guess what? I looked in the secret place, and you're saved. Now, you don't know it yet. Now, I'm not changing theology on salvation. I'm declaring it on to people. So I'm going to talk to you like you're saved. I'm going to talk to you like you're on fire for Jesus. I'm not going to talk down to you. I'm not going to be your Holy Spirit. I'm just going to talk to you like you're on fire for God. Isn't God good? Isn't it amazing how he moves in people's lives? I mean, I just talk to people like they're saved. You talk to some lost people. Yeah, you know, blah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I remember one day this angel walked into my room. And they'd be like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, you know how they just come and walk into your room. Wait, what? You know. You got to bring that into your life, right? Hear me. I'm going to try to finish with this. Psalm 91. Write this down. Go meditate on it. Memorize it. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That shelter, go back one. 91:1, the word, he who dwells in the shelter. 91:1, he who dwells in the shelter. Another translation for shelter there is the secret place. Some translate it the secret place. So when you have a secret life with Jesus that nobody sees, and you get his opinion on stuff, and you see how he sees things, he equips you to live a life where the temporal doesn't dictate your eternal. You get to live out of the eternal. He says, if you dwell in the secret place, then you bring that into the world and affect the area around you. All of a sudden, you walk around with your own shelter. You walk around with your own protection. You walk around with a grace to change things around you. You hear what I'm talking about? That's God's promise in our life. That's his promise in our life. Our goal is to have a hope that's anchored beyond the veil. Amen. Corey, come on up. Can you walk? You good? It's God's goal today that you don't lose heart. I'm going to pray here in a second. We had a youth had a vision Friday night. And they didn't understand the vision, but they had a vision. And in the vision, there was a group of people, and then a wind came. And the wind knocked them down. And then they turned to gold. And then the area surrounding them turned to gold. I have any idea what that meant. But this is the Lord talking. When you allow the power of God to come, the Spirit to come and affect your spirit man, when you surrender, truly surrender, and you allow him to overwhelm you, the gold, you begin to be refined and the gold comes out. But what's the goal for that? It doesn't end with you. God wants to affect the land. And he does that through us. He does that through us. The Bible says, how beautiful is it when the brothers dwell in unity? It's like the oil dripping off the beard of Aaron. Hear me. God's goal is to affect the land. The oil drips off onto the land. But most people won't stay still long enough to get the land anointed. He wants that gold to manifest in the land. He wants to use you to transform your life and then transform the world around you. Amen? He wants to transform your life and the world around you. Stand with me, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We just say yes and amen to what you're doing in our lives. We say yes and amen to what you're doing in this house. I thank you that you're setting us all up for greatness. Pray in the Holy Ghost if you will. Put your hand in your heart. Lord Jesus, overwhelm me with your spirit this week. Overwhelm me with your goodness this week. I thank you that a portal has opened above this house. And I thank you, Jesus, that you guard it. Who comes and goes. And we set our sight on you. Father, we ask that you would show up in the life groups today, that your power would move through them. Ha. Sabaka, taba, laba, ah, sarabaka. Ah, rebo, saraba, shabaka. Hallelujah. Listen, if you're not right with God today, if you're just away from him, we have an intercession banner right here. That's a fancy word for prayer. We got a couple people standing right over there who will be happy to pray for you. Why don't you go on over there right now? And they're going to pray for you. Go on. We'll wait. They're going to pray for you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else here like, yep, today's the day? Anybody else? God is going to activate the eternal in your life. You're no longer going to have to live by what you see. Hallelujah. 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 He's a very good God. All right, close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would release the eternal in their lives, that they wouldn't be bound to things that are passing away, that they would give away the amazing things that you show them in the secret place, and that they would conquer this land for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. And give a clap offering to the Lord if you would.